Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the new Donegal GAA home jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be joined shortly by Keith Cowan for this week's League of Ireland chat. Maxi Curran looks ahead to the Division 1 League final against Meath on Sunday. Donegal play Tyrone for a place in the Ulster Under 20 Championship final tomorrow night. We'll hear from the managers, Gary Duffy and Paul Devlin, while Mickey McCann will look ahead to a busy Nicky Rackard Championship campaign, which gets underway in Fermanagh on Sunday afternoon. Plus, Alec McDonald gives us his view on another big weekend of rugby for relegation threatened City of Derry. Well, we're going to start with football. The North West Derby of Finn Harps and league leaders Derry City is the standout tie of the Premier Division this weekend. Join the Highland team of Dermot Doherty and Declan Boyle for full live match commentary on Saturday from the 5:30 kick-off at Finn Park. It's been very different starts to the season for both sides, with Derry the only unbeaten team left in the top flight, and they have a 6-point advantage at the top, while Harps are chasing a first one at home as they look to pick up points and move themselves out of the bottom two. Harps go into the game off the back of a 2-2 draw with Drogheda United last Monday. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I was joined by former Harps skipper, now Drogheda United player Keith Cowan, who was back at Finn Park on Monday for the first time since he left the club.
Yeah, I must say it was strange now. It was very strange coming back and, I suppose being in the different side of it. And, because of things I've switched around, I was still in the same changing room because Harps have the new changing rooms now and they're across the other side of the pitch. So no, I must say it was nice to be back. It was a couple of old faces there that would be still around and it was nice to see them and it was nice to, get a chat to them. But ultimately, as I said there at the start, it was strange going out on the pitch and, so it's not representing Harps. But, once the whistle went, it was kind of business as usual.
Ollie said after the game that 2-2 was a fair enough result. Would you concur with that, would you?
It probably was, over the 90 minutes. I felt ourselves, we started the game particularly well. And then, maybe through a few mistakes in that there, maybe trying to, play in the wrong areas, we kind of invited a bit of pressure and allowed Harps to get a foothold in the game. And they got two quick goals to see them into half time. I thought in the second half, maybe we had a bit more of the play and try to create things a bit more. Maybe it seemed like they were happy enough to maybe sit with the 2-1. But then again, created a couple of great chances near the end. Sam Long, our keepers, made a couple of great saves. Andy Lyons has pulled one off the line. Andy Quinn's pulled one off the line. It was really kind of all hands to the pump. We created, I suppose, a couple of good chances in the second half. So suppose, over the case, the whole 90 minutes, I'd say a draw was probably a fair result, yeah.
Okay, next up, we'll just stay with Drogheda because you have got Bowes now on Friday night. Bowes will be buoyed by that one against Sligo on Tuesday night, going to the Showgrounds and taking victory. What sort of test are you expecting now on Friday against them?
Yeah, look, that's going to give them a big lift, I suppose. They'd have been disappointed conceding the late goal against Derry last Friday night. For Derry to take all 3 points down there, going then picking themselves up, going to Sligo, which have been going really well, to go there and to get a victory at the Showgrounds is quite difficult, But then I suppose Sligo went there on Friday and Shells went there on Friday and got a result at the Showgrounds as well. So it'll be two Dublin teams, have gone there and got 6 points, and then you with UCD to go there as well on Saturday coming. They'll be hoping to maybe pick up their first one of the season. Looks like we'll be disappointed with the way that it's gone for them. But Bozo will have had a massive lift from that, as I said, with the disappointment of Friday night pass. So they'll be tails up coming to Drogheda and they'll be expecting to lift off 3 points there as well, I'd say.
Yeah. Our main game here in Highland this weekend is, of course, going to be the North West Derby of Finn Harps against Derry City on Saturday. You've already played in a derby this year, Keith, against Dundalk, in a derby that you've won as well. Can you compare a Louth derby to a North West derby?
Yeah, I suppose having played in both of them now, I suppose that there are similarities, yes. I suppose, you know, with both sets of fans, you know, with it in both derbies, both sets of fans, you know, can get themselves involved in the game. There was a great over and back down in Louth with them, and it's always the same, whether it's in Finn Park or whether it's in the Brandywell as well. So, yeah, they'll look at typical derbies, you know, kind of bit of blood and thunder, bit of, you know, argy-bargy between the two sets of players and that as well. But I suppose, you know, having played it in more of the North West derbies, there's quite nothing quite like a Finn Harps Derry City derby, really.
Yeah, well, there's another one to come this weekend. How important then is this game for Finn Harps against Derry on Saturday, Keith, given that they haven't had a home win yet?
Yeah, I think it's massive for Harps. I think you know, when it comes to derbies, like, you know, form really goes out the window, and I feel Derry will know that as well. You know, there's been sides in the past that have gone to Finn Park, Derry City sides that have, you know, been doing really well, and it's just a totally different atmosphere. You know, the crowd can get on top of you; they can affect the game as well. We've seen it in the past where, you know, where players maybe have done things, you know, out of character or maybe a bit rash at times, and, you know, it can take something as simple as a, you know, a silly tackle or a silly booking that can, you know, change the whole flow of the game. So I think Harps will really be looking forward to this one. I think they'll see this as a big opportunity maybe to get that first home win. There's no reason why they can't, you know, the experience that they have in the ranks, you know, with Barry McNamee, Connolly, you know, Younger Mahandy the last day, getting a goal, Eric Woods as well, getting a goal, Ryan Rainey. They have quality within the side. So there's no reason why they couldn't be looking to pick up 3 points.
Well, some might say that maybe if Harps were to win this weekend, it would probably be a league upset given where Derry are. How far away are Harps from Derry, do you think, on the pitch, Keith? Because over the last number of seasons, we've seen them a lot closer. But that has changed this year, has it?
Yeah, well, I suppose just Derry seem to have had this great start, you know, where they, you know, have, yes, they, look, they have a great side and they have a great squad and they have, you know, good manager, etc. But they, you know, they seem to be getting that bit of luck, and you can say, well, you know, they're creating their own luck, but they're picking up points, they're picking up wins, scoring goals in, you know, 93rd, 94th minute of games, you know, which is great. But so that they seem to be, you know, having their real purple patch now. You know, there's always in a season where a team will struggle to put, you know, will struggle to get results. Maybe this is Harps, you know, time where they're struggling to get a bit of form, struggling to get a few results, and they'll kick on, you know, somewhere near the middle of the season, or maybe it could happen on night. We don't know. So it can be a case of, you know, getting that wee bit of luck at the right time. As I said there before, it can come in a tackle, it can come in any form, just to change the flow of the game. And we know, like a Northwest Derby, it does get the juices flowing. It does bring out something in players. Players kind of go to a different level where you kind of hope they would go there every week, but players do really rise to the occasion, and you know, Harps fans and, you know, Harps players and Harps management will be looking. That definitely happens on Saturday.
Well, you mentioned about a purple patch that Derry's going through. I'll tell you what, it's not a bad purple patch, is it, Keith? You find yourself unbeaten in the league with, what, 8 games played, and you've got a 6-point advantage at the top of the table. If you're talking about purple patches, that's the sort of patch that you want, and it is a fantastic start for the Candy Stripes.
Yeah, great after 8 games to find themselves top, as you said, with a 6-point cushion there. You know, confidence will be sky high throughout that team. You know, you talk about the likes of Will Patchin, you know, Jamie Monagle there, you know, a couple of like 4 or 5 goals each already this season. Roland Boyce, as usual, seems to be chipping in with goals. I'd say with losing a couple last injury as well, which they've been disappointed about, then you have Patrick McElhinney coming back in, and apparently he's making a massive difference already, just coming back in and just grabbing those games by the scruff of the neck, as Rory Higgins alluded to there last week up on Daly Mount when they got the 2-1 win later on against Bowes. So all that experience, and again, just all that momentum, you know, it just seems to be going Derry's way at the moment, and they'll be hoping that just keeps continuing. You look at the quality that Shamrock Rovers have, you look at the quality that Pats have as well. So they'll be hopping their heels, but at the minute it seems to be Derry that are leading the way, and as I say, they'll be hoping that'll continue.
Yeah, the game on Tuesday night, as we know, finished 2-2. Could there be lots of goals in the Derby at the weekend?
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose, you know, Hearts fans, and you know, they would have been saying that like they're struggling for goals, that they're creating these chances, but you know, they've been struggling to finish them off. Two goals will definitely lift the confidence of strikers. You know, that's the way it goes. Again, they'll be just hoping maybe they can keep maybe a few out at the other end as well. We heard young Mulroney come in there to make his debut. Obviously, Mark McGinley. We're not sure if he's going to be eligible for the game on Saturday. Obviously, his suspension is sending off against Shamrock Rovers. So, yeah, look, and again, Derry, they'll feel like that they'll score in any minute of any game because of the way things have been going for them. So, yeah, look, I see goals. I see a couple of decisions that the referee will need to be strong on. Like all that there makes up a great derby, and it makes a great one for the fans and the spectators.
Yeah, there'll be a thunderous, exciting start to it, will there?
Oh, indeed. That's what everyone's looking forward to. You know, as I said there before, like as soon as that game starts, form will have nothing to do with it. And, you know, everyone will know that. And the Derry players will know that too. They know through experience, you know, and they'll have within the ranks of the management, and there's a few players that have been there before in those situations. They'll know as soon as they get there. You're facing maybe a different Finn Harps team than maybe is playing when you're playing someone from Dublin or someone from down the country so they'll know what to expect.
Okay, Sligo Rovers up against UCD on Saturday as well. Sligo will be very disappointed with that defeat at the hands of Bows the last night. Where of course they were looking to maintain their push at the top of the table, but they are fourth, and you would expect them to have too much for UCD, would you, Keith?
Yeah, well, I thought they might have had too much for Shells as well last weekend, but then, you know, that didn't seem to materialise either. They'll be very disappointed losing back-to-back games at home, 1-0s as well. They had a great start. Aidan Keane as well, you know, top of the scoring charts so far, just after 8 games, I know, but he's up there with 5 goals. So, you know, he'll be looking to get back on the score sheet. UCD still looking for their first win. It's been a rocky enough start for them. You know, they've shown well in some games that they can be resolute and they can keep a clean sheet. Games just hasn't really worked out for them. Again, with the UCD, they always have such great footballers, such talented players, really well organized, really well drilled. But again, you know, they just need that little bit extra at times to see themselves through games. So they'll be going there. Let's just try and get 3 points. Let's just try and be nice and solid. Maybe let's just try and keep a clean sheet as what they'll be looking for. And whatever comes after that, it'll be a bonus for them.
Yeah, some quarters might suggest that Shelburne Shamrock Rovers is a bigger derby match than Finn Harps against Derry this weekend, Keith. But can Damien Duff's side build on some of the recent good performances and obviously that result against Sligo and cause the Hoops problems, that cause the defending champions problems?
Yeah, well, they have to believe that they will, and I'm sure Damien Duff will have them well organised and well drilled. He'll know exactly what's going on probably around the camp there over in Tala. I suppose if you're asking me, is it such a big derby as the Northwest Derby? I'm going to say no because I'm totally biased in that regard, and you know, I think you have to have experience maybe the Northwest Derby, you know, even just to watch it, you know, it is something pretty special. But yeah, look, I think, you know, it's a massive win for Shells last week going to Sligo, getting that win up there, which is going to be difficult for a lot of teams going there. So I think Shams, look, a big distance to travel for them with the quality that they have in the ranks, you know, with the squad there. And that's probably the biggest problem that Bradley has, is probably picking a team that he thinks is going out to, you know, win each week. And then you're thinking, if something's all right, I definitely have the players to try and tweak this. So maybe his embarrassment of riches, he doesn't know which team to go with or which players to go with. So it's a great problem to have. I'm sure a lot of managers would love that problem. But, you know, I think just in his situation, I suppose, with the investment that goes in there, you know, you need to be pretty much winning every week. That's the pressure that comes with the top jobs. But I'm sure they'll be able to handle it, and they'll be looking to pick up all 3 points over on Tulka Park.
Yeah, one other game at Richmond Park, St Pat's against Dundalk. I think this one was draw written all over it. Keith, would you agree?
Pats have such great quality, you know, and again Dundalk on the, with what they've shown, it kind of fits and starts this season that they have the same, you know, they have the players, you know, they really it could be, you're talking, it wouldn't be far away with the draw on this one. Again, you look, you have players within the ranks that can score goals. Again, it's a tough one to call, but I think you might be too far away with the draw. You get your fiver on that this week, Ashley. You'll see maybe a few quid back.
There you go, that's former Harps skipper Keith Cowan, now with Drogheda United on our League of Ireland chat this week. Just some of the highlight games this weekend in the North West. A couple of big matches down in Inishowen. The Clubman Church Cup final is on at McGinn Park in Buncrana on Saturday evening. Buncrana Hearts are taking on Greencastle FC, and that one kicks off at 5 o'clock. Well, on Sunday, Alia will play Glengarry United in the Premier Division. It's Alia's last game of the season, and they need to win to go level at the top with Greencastle. But Greencastle will also have one game left, and they too have to play Glengarry United next week. And in the Donegal League, Letterkenny Rovers will clinch the Division 2 title on Sunday, as long as they avoid defeat against Letterbarrow Celtic. That game taking place on Sunday afternoon, as Letterkenny Rovers look to wrap up the title, and of course they are moving up into the First Division next season. Now to Gaelic games. The Donegal Ladies chase a first senior title this Sunday when they play Meath in the Lidl National League Division 1 final at Croke Park. Boss Maxie Curran has a full squad available as he looks to upset the All-Ireland champions, who are also on the hunt for a first league title. Donegal have been boosted in recent weeks by the return of Mavill's Niamh Higgerty and the addition of Tanya Kennedy, who Maxie hopes will play a role in their championship campaign down the line. But ahead of the league final, the Donegal manager says it's vital that the group get experience playing at Croke Park again.
I think it's a really important, really useful part of the development process for the girls. We were fortunate enough to get a joust with Dublin there in 2019 in a first round of the league that year, and we got over the line. But it just adds a whole different dimension to the experience, and even to the, I suppose, the stress levels and the lead up to the game. It's something else for the girls to, you know, to get their head around. And I think any kind of an experience where, you know, the body comes under stress, the mind comes under stress, and, you know, once you experience that, get through it and get over it, you know, they'll be the better for it. And, you know, we've played in a lot of big games this last number of years. You know, we've played five, this will be our fifth game this year, and three of them in live on TV. So, you know, the ladies thing is really taking flight, and, you know, it's the games are becoming more popular and far more scrutinised, and that does add a wee bit of pressure to the girls. So I think, look, the more big games they play in, you know, the better they'll be then when the bigger games come around later in the summer. And look, there's no better place than Croke Park to try and, you know, add to the experience bank.
Listen, you had big games before as well against Dublin, and you actually beat them in Croke Park, so you did. But in the semi-final, two late goals secured a place in the decider. That was a huge result for you, Maxie, in more ways than one. Yes, you got to the final, but you were getting the monkey off the back in relation to beating the Dubs.
Yeah, look, it's something, you know, we've kind of tripped ourselves up again, Dublin, in the last couple of years, 2020 and then last year's quarter final. So we always felt that, you know, we had enough to, you know, to go toe-to-toe with Dublin, and, you know, the ball maybe didn't bounce for us in the previous couple of games, but, you know, ultimately I don't think we did enough either. And I think that, you know, the really pleasing thing about the semi-final was the fact that even 5 points down a few minutes ago, the girls, you know, still had the bit of belief that they could, you know, claw it back, and that's very important. I think that's just sheer experience, and, you know, the if you look back at the game, the three girls that made the big plays happen, or, you know, Karen, Katie, Yvonne, and even Geraldine, you know, that they were the four girls that were involved in both goals. So, you know, that tells you the bit of experience and, you know, the value of experience. And I think that's the big thing for us coming out of the Dublin game. We have that now in the bank, and, you know, a lot of the younger girls that played that day will, you know, will take that with them, and I think will be the better for it.
So you'll need them girls to, at the very least, get to that level again against Meath, will you?
Yeah, look. The Meath game is a completely different animal to the Dublin game. You know, the style of football that Meath play is just a complete opposite to Dublin. You know, there's that to deal with. As you mentioned, the Croke Park factor. You know, the fact that it's a national final. So, listen, it's just a completely different prospect. We've never played Meath before, so you know, there isn't that element of familiarity that sometimes breeds contempt, as they say. So, We just have to deal with this as a whole new challenge, and look, it's one we're really looking forward to. It's a brilliant occasion, and fair play to the Gaels for getting us over the line the last day. They they deserve great credit, and for the way they battled. Even I know that a lot of the talks about the two goals at the end, but we were playing against a Gael Force wind, and from Roush McCafferty and goals throughout all the defenders, they managed to get their kickouts away time and time again under serious pressure, under a big press from Dublin, and that showed a lot of courage, and I know they say the other Gaels get the headline. But it was a real team shift in the end, and I say we think we'll get a lot of mileage out of that victory.
What's the threats of Meath? They're all Ireland champions. Vicky Wall's in the newspapers today. She's set for a move to Australia, but she's only one of a number of threats that they have. How do you contend with that, Maxi?
Well, I think the thing about Meath is their strength is their collective. Look, they have a couple of fabulous players. Vicky Wall and Emma Dugan are the two standout performers, but they have another couple of forwards. Neva Sullivan and Stacey Grimes are really quality footballers. Midfielder Maria Shockney is a class act as well, and then a couple of defenders. Emma Troy is constantly bombing up and down the field. So look, they have some really good individuals, but I think their strength is in their as they're in the collective. They defend as a group of 15 most of the time, and that's very difficult for ladies to break down because the scoring zone is so much smaller for girls than it is for boys. Boys will regularly score from outside the 45. That's a real rarity in ladies football, so it's a bit easier to defend on block, and that's a challenge that we haven't come up against before. And as I say, it's the exact opposite to Dublin, who would have won completely player to player and try to strangle the life out of you. So it's going to be a whole different challenge for us, but look, it's one we're really looking forward to.
Yeah, it's fascinating with Meath when you look at it, the way they transitioned from being a Division 2 team to All-Ireland champions in such a short period of time. Is that something that Donegal can achieve, Maxi? Do you have a good enough foundation and a base there that maybe in the next 18 months you can knock on from where you are now to
look, I don't know if you're going to be able to mirror what Meath's done, to be honest, because I think they would have started out 4 years ago, with a new management at that time and a very young crop of players, would have won a Leinster minor title and went on to contest an All-Ireland final. And, that would have been the basis of what this team has built on. They've had a very steady trajectory upwards, and the evolution of their team has been very consistent. They've added one or two players as each season has went on, and embedded a game plan and stuck with that and got through it. I keep going back to the geography issue for Donegal, and we have so many people that head away for work or even travel or college and one thing or another, that we haven't been able to have that consistency. We had a couple of guys went to Australia and things like that, so that's been a real handicap for us, I think. The fact that we just haven't been able to retain our playing rota from one year to the other year all the time, adding in new players and having to replace players and trying to bring new players up to speed and try and develop a game plan that suits the new pieces and the so on. So, look, I think the Meath thing is a real textbook approach for aspiring counties to get up to the top tier. But I think for us, with the age bracket that we're in, and we mentioned the Cairns and the Vaughans and these people, they're in the autumn of their careers, we'll say. And so, look, there's some great talent coming through in Donegal, but look, I think those guys will be very hard to replace when they do decide to step away.
How are you fixed on the playing front this week? How's the squad shaping up for this league? And yeah, do you have everybody, Max?
Yeah, look, I think we're possibly a wee bit stronger than we were even for the Dublin game. Fina Menon would have played early in the campaign, was injured, so she'll be back in the squad. And we have a wee lady from Mavelle by the name of Niamh Hegarty that might be with us. She just returned there a number of weeks ago, and so I'm not sure if she'll be up to speed or not in time for this week, but she's part of it. And then we have another wee lady returning, a girl by the name of Tanya Kennedy. People that would have followed ladies football in Donegal years ago would remember Tanya as an underage player, a real exciting prospect. And she's been in Australia for a number of years and played a bit of AFL out there. So look, she's back with us as well, and again this week might come too soon for her, but she is part of the squad anyway, and I think we're definitely probably stronger for having those couple of girls at it back.
You hope to see more of them come the championship, do you?
Yeah, look, a player of Niamh Hegarty's quality. She's a former All Star at centre half forward and a fabulous player and a brilliant servant to Donegal. And look, we're hoping that she'll be around them come championship town. Herself and Tanya will have a big role to play.
Your management team, you've changed it this year, Maxi, and you now find yourself in a league final. You're at Croke Park, the chance to win a league title for the first time, a Division 1 league title. Obviously, the changes that you've made, you're starting to see the benefits of it, are you?
Yeah, look, you roll the dice with that kind of thing. We've been blessed over the last number of years with the quality of backroom we've had. Going back to the Damien Devaney's, the Gary Walsh's, Johnny McGinley, Alan O'Connell, Joe McLaughlin, Davy McLaughlin, they have done great work for us over the last couple of years, and we just felt that it would be a help to freshen the thing up this year. And, you know, Mark McHugh became available as a coach, and it was just a brilliant opportunity for us to get someone of Mark's expertise and playing experience to join the group and see if he could, you know, push the thing on that way. And Paul Fisher, from a strength and conditioning perspective, is, you know, he's so well known and well renowned, and he has revolutionised what we have been doing from that regard. And Barney Curran has come in as well as part of the coaching team. So listen, it's just brought a real freshness, and, you know, we got a couple of players back, the likes of Yvonne and that. So, you know, it's a bit of freshness, and you know, the quality of those guys and the experience that they bring is, you know, maybe revitalised the thing a small, but they're probably sick to listen to my voice at this stage. So it's nice to take a step back maybe and see the magic unfold other ways.
If the magic is going to unfold on Sunday then, Max, seniors are going to take that title, what sort of performance is going to be required from the Donegal senior ladies?
I think patience is probably going to be the name of the game. As I mentioned earlier, Meath properly defend on block, you know, and they put 15 behind the ball on a regular basis, and that's really hard to break down. I say it's a bit easier in men's because fellas can kick it that bit further. Girls can't do that, so they have to be really methodical and patient in how they approach the attacking, and then Meath break really fast when they win the ball back. So it's going to be a massive shift physically for the girls as well. Crow Park's a big place and can be very unforgiving for defenders if they're left having to defend in lots of space. So, you know, the girls are going to have to get up the field to try and break down Meath's blanket defence, and then they're going to have to retreat very quickly to make sure our own back door is closed. So that's something we haven't, you know, played against before, but I think the whole thing is just coming to a boil nicely for us. You know, we've never won a national title, and I think the girls are aware of that. Meath are strong favourites, they're all Ireland champions, they're a brilliant team, they've done great things the last couple of years, they've been in Croke Park 5 or 6 times over the last couple of years. They don't have any of that to worry about, and, you know, I think it's just coming together nicely. No one really expects too much of us, and we just hope that the girls give a performance that they're proud of, and they're coming down the road, and if that's good enough, you know, so be it.
Hopefully we'll do that, Max. The best of luck in Croke Park on Sunday.
Thank you.
That's Donegal senior ladies manager Maxie Curran ahead of that league final against Meath on Sunday. Throw-in time at Croke Park is at 4 o'clock. We'll have full live match commentary on air. I'll be joined in the commentary position by former Donegal player Maureen O'Donnell for that game this coming Sunday. We're also going to have live match commentary from the Donegal Tyrone Ulster Under 20 Championship semi-final, which takes place on a Friday night. I'll be joined by Martin McHugh to watch this game, and commentary will be available on our website, highlandradio.com, as from the 8 o'clock throw-in. The Northwest rivalry has been fierce between these two sides in recent seasons. Tyrone suffered defeat in the opening round last year as Donegal gained revenge for their final loss to the Red Hands in 2020. Donegal have had the upper hand on their neighbours already this season, winning the Leo Murphy Cup in the pre-championship competition. Donegal manager Gary Duffy's been telling Tom Comack that he's expecting a different Tyrone team this time around.
Gary, Donegal back in another Ulster semi-final facing Tyrone on this occasion, and obviously have still memories from last year's semi-final, ones that maybe haunt you.
No, look, it's each year, it's a new year. I don't. We move on. You can dwell on it too much, Tom. It'll take over your life. But we're just looking forward to Friday night, and hopefully we get a performance.
Yeah, Donegal in good shape, unbeaten so far between league and championship. Obviously got the victory over Armagh on Friday night, and of course had 4 big wins in the Leo Murphy Cup, including Tyrone, a big win in Letterkenny.
Yeah, look, they worked hard throughout all year, and they've been in the performance. It's a positive environment, and when you have a positive environment, you know, hopefully you can perform at a high level, and so far so good for us, but each game takes a life of their own.
And as we mentioned, obviously Donegal convincing victors over Armagh last weekend. They did put on a bit of a spurt in the second half, but you were, what, 9 points up at half time, and, you know, ended up, what, 7 point winners. Tyrone, equally impressive. I'm sure you saw them on Saturday in Loch Macquarie when they threw the champions down.
Yeah, well, first of all, on listening to Armagh, it was more intense than maybe the final score would suggest. Like, Armagh did come back at us, and it really a lot to reflect on. They put it up to us in the second half. They came out and threw everything at us. And, you know, we'll take a lot of learning from that. And it was maybe the first half performance kept touching distance for Bore Armagh, made the challenge more difficult for them. And thankfully, we've seen out the game, and that was important and able to deal with different situations. Tyrone came from behind to beat Down. You know, they were against the wind the first half and stuck with them. And they pushed on the second half, and it was clear to see. And likewise, they have a lot of good players around them, so they helped.
As we mentioned earlier, you've already met this year, Donegal, big winners in O'Donnell Park in the final of the Leo Murphy Cup. The Tyrone team that played on Saturday, much changed from the team that was in O'Donnell Park?
Well, look, they had 3-4 changes on Saturday from O'Donnell Park, but the league counts for nothing. This is a new competition. We were experimenting in the league, and equally so was Paul Devlin for Tyrone. And there are like the number of changes since 4 weeks ago, and different performances and players that maybe didn't so play so well. That Kenny are really coming into their peak now in relation to Tyrone, and that was clear to be seen last Saturday.
Yeah, what did you learn last Saturday? Where are the danger areas with this Tyrone team?
Look, Tom, all over the field, Tyrone are dangerous. They've excellent players on it. They're had a lot of emphasis in their coaching and their academies is equally so do we, you know, so they have a great balance and a great spread throughout the field, namely even having the likes of Conor Cush back, and is a big threat along with young Canavan.
Yeah, the half forward line in particular, they scored 9 points out of 113, was it? Obviously that's a line that'll take special watching.
Oh look, obviously take special watching all over the field, and half forward's no different. And if you give them types of players with your name, space and opportunities, they'll take their scores well, and it's really well.
Yeah. In relation to team wise, obviously Richard O'Rourke came back last week, having not participated at all this season. We saw Donal McBride back as well. Timely returns by both, I would say.
Oh, look, if anybody come back from injury, that's well timely, and no matter what game you have, but it's delighted to see the two lads back there. They're working hard to get back. They put a massive effort in the recovery. Not many lads would do the amount of work they've done to get back on the field. So that's a credit to both Richard and Donal to be back playing for us.
Yeah, and obviously members of the team last year as well that lost that semi-final as well, and I'm sure that's in their memories as well. Obviously that's a big lesson learned.
Lessons learned from last year. I'm very clear, we haven't dwelled on it. There's no reason to dwell on it. Each game takes a life of their own, and we're just looking forward to the next game in front of us. And dwelling is for maybe other people, but certainly not within our group.
Yeah, but having said that, obviously it's something that, maybe there was even a sign of it on last Friday night when Armagh did come back at you at the start of the second half. You had the resolve maybe to dig in again, which maybe the team hadn't the year before against Monaghan.
They showed great resilience on Friday night when Armagh put it up to them, and no question about that. Look at when goals go on, their situations arise. We were backwards the wall to Tyrone last year. We showed great resilience in that game, and we got a lot of credit for that. It didn't happen the following game, and we're getting criticised for that the way we are. So look, we're not going to, as I said, we're not going to dwell on that in any shape or form. We just have to look at the next game.
Yeah, and obviously Tyrone won't need reminding. You ended their hopes of a 3 in a row last year when you beat them at the quarter-final stage.
Yeah, certainly. Each game took the Tyrone are inspired to be up the best with Ulster, and they're decent output, and they'll be looking to put amends right as well.
Annie Knox picked up on Friday night.
Yeah, you have a lot of bruising and knocks, and they're on the treatment table. Bobby McGarrigan would have taken them off, and Keenan Dunleavy also picked up an ankle injury. So look, and Carlos O'Reilly's bruised, but we're going to look at them all throughout the week, and we'll see how they're ready. It's too early at this stage to see what way they are for the weekend.
Donegal manager Gary Duffy as they look to get a win over Tyrone once again. Now, the manager with the Red Hand County is Paul Devlin, and he's been telling Tom that his side will have work to do if they are to overcome their rivals on Friday evening.
The last couple of years, Donegal got the upper hand, so they have, so we've a bit of catch-up to do, so have, work to do, so have, turn Donegal over. We're 7-point defeat the last year, it was the other man, and they have to be a bit in front of ourselves there, so we've get our heads around going at them again and see what we can handle them, you know, Tom.
Yeah, well, yeah, and of course you met most of the team players from both teams are back again this year. They met last year at the quarter final stage, a much closer affair in Healy Park.
Aye, it was. Aye, you know, again, as I say, you know, on their own end, like just getting game plans here was very difficult. So it was, we just stayed until a game, you know, and this time round, both teams are going to run the league and the odd challenge game here and there. And so it's a bedding in process, so it is, and you get lads a bit more game time, getting back, but it's an oxen hurts and see where Texas and we're all down till everything else, down till a team makes the least mistakes. You've seen that the last day. We made a few bad errors again, Donegal, and they capitalised on them and fair play to them, so that's so we have to put our house in order on that end.
Yeah, and have you got many of last year's team, Paul?
Back roughly, Tom, it could be maybe a dozen lads over from last year were in the panels where they were, you know what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, lads getting in game time, so to see where they go. And then there's all lads pop up, you know what I mean, that haven't been playing much before, so they're at the county level and there's a good opportunity for them to push on too, you know.
I know you're mentioning the last day, and obviously, you know, that was a league final or the Leo Murphy final, and I don't want to dismiss it, but there's a lot more at stake on this occasion. I feel you'll treat it a lot more seriously.
Well, like, I can't say we didn't treat it any different than last day. Just, you know, it's a championship football, and low lads knew that themselves. You would have been both parties that the championship was knockout, and the year ends up that, so it does, you know. So, having all our players do it wherever we can to get the wins, so that we know ourselves on the illusion of a big task in front of us. You would have been getting them top of Donegal, because they have been the team that's been pushing the four there this year, and had now a great win against Armagh there last week, so that in the forefront to push on, you know.
Yeah. Well, you yourselves had a good win over Down, the reigning champions.
Aye. Look, lads, they settled in after a period of time. Down at a good start, so they had, you know, you hear people saying, but getting a start, well, there's only one team get a good start, so there's no matter what you do, so there's a bar, they're hitting point for point. And they say, our lads settled in after that, so that, and, you know, just buckled down and kept everything simple and kept the basics all right, and it was a big help to them. And over the line to finish up was a good result to get, so was, you know.
Yeah. And two names that have tormented Donegal in the past are cropping up again, Cush and Canavan, this time offspring of the famous Adrian and Peter, Conor Cush and Rory Canavan. Conor Cush came back last week for his first outing, knocked over 5 points.
Hi, both lads back in there, but like, you know, They're in their own merit, so yes, the name of the old fellas, you know, played with them myself, you know, but, you know, they're in their own merit of what they're doing with the club football going through the underage levels here as well too, you know, and it just gives the lads an opportunity to push on, so it is, and say they're good lads all around, great attitude and training, and that's what you want, so it is, you know, from lads, regardless of the kind of name or whatever it is, the attitude to push on and, you know, make their own name, which I've held them all along, so it would stand for them too, you know, Tom.
Okay, what, 3 weeks ago you met in that Leo Murphy final. Have you got much work done since?
Never yet. You've been out that two or three times a week, the lads who you are, and you're just pushing on and just getting them to improve all the time. So, you know, when you get a group of lads again, it takes a bit of time to gel, and so does, you know. And, like, you know, they're doing their bit, they're putting on board, but, like, it's on the day. Can they deliver on the day, so does, and that's all boiled down to, so does, as I said before, the team makes the least mistakes, is as the team's best chance to win the game, so does, you know.
And have you got everybody?
Everybody's ripping and raring to go. Everybody's all fully fit to go, so they are.
That's Tyrone boss Paul Devlin. Once again, we will have commentary from that game tomorrow evening on our website. Okay, you can go to HeinenRadio.com for full live match commentary from the under 20 semi final. And Ulster GAA are just reminding supporters as well that if you're going to that game, you must buy your ticket in advance online or in selected Super Value and Centra stores, as there will be no cash sales at the ground at the match on Friday evening. Derry are also involved in a semi final on a Friday night. They're taking on Cavan. That match is at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh, and it has the same throw-in time as the Donegal Tyrone game, 8 o'clock. That one is due to start. And there's a North West field of the Ulster Minor League football final, which is taking place on Saturday. There's an early start in Maharaa, 11 a.m. for the Battle of Derry and Tyrone, to see who will win the Minor League title, with the championship, of course, to get up and running in a couple of weeks' time. To hurling. Donegal's opening game in the 2022 Nicky Rackard Cup campaign against Fermanagh takes place on Sunday. The game has been moved from Brewster Park in Enniskillen to St Mary's Maguire's Bridge. Donegal go into the championship after a solid league campaign, which seen them retain their Division 2B status. The competition format has changed, which will see Donegal play more games in the group stages. Donegal manager Mickey McCann has been telling Tom Comack about those changes.
So Tom, earlier they split the six teams into two groups, you know, and the one of the group would stay to the final, and second place in the group would have been in the semi-final. This year, we all play everybody once, and the top two goes into the final. So look, it's a hectic. If you happen to get to the final, Tom, over the next seven weeks, you're out six of them, you know. So the games are coming thick and fast, and look, it's definitely more games, Tom, but it's going to be a big ask on the strength of your panel and depth when you pick up a few injuries, which will happen week on week. So look, it's a busy schedule, Tom, but look, we've been looking forward to it now, that getting out in the championship, and we're waiting for Manor now on Sunday.
And as you mentioned, it'll test the strength of your panel, and I suppose that's something that has been tested already this year in the league.
Yeah, I suppose at the league, the same thing, Tom. You had 1 week break for the five matches, and it's a tough ask, Tom, from 1 week to the next. And if you've any wee knock at all, you're down, man. And personally, the league, we've lost. Maybe Jack only played a match and a half, you know, and Richie played two games, all got out of him, you know, and Declan picked up a few injuries. Rory Campbell didn't feature in the league at all. So, look, we've been down bodies over the league, Tom, and during the championship, a few of them will be back, but we'll still be missing a couple of lads, you know.
That may be a blessing in disguise now, that you had to go to your bench or to your squad for games, because they fared particularly well. You know, you won 5 out of 6 of your group games. I know you were disappointed to lose to Sligo in the semi-final, but other than Derry, you won all your other games.
Yeah, it was very satisfying. League Cup, 4-1 to the 5 was a good return for us in that division, and we're happy to maintain our status there, you know. And it was nice to push in the top end of the table. We're probably disappointed a bit with the second half against Sligo, but look, that's well behind us now, Tom. It means nothing, and Derry's got promoted. So looking forward now, Tom, as you said, with injuries, we got a good look at it. Like, Brian McIntyre played the full league, first year involved with us. Conor Gertland had a full league with us. Young Flynn done very well. So, look, as you had a couple of injuries, we got through the match as well, and good results, and bedded on a couple of new players, which is very important.
Yeah. Anyway, just looking at the teams, Fermanagh obviously on Sunday, that's your opening game away. You have Armagh at home, Roscommon at home, Warwickshire away, and Tyrone away. With the exception of yourselves, obviously you were a 2B team. Warwickshire are going down to 3B. All the rest really are 3B teams.
Yeah, well, 3A probably, Tom. You have Fermanagh, one division 3B, so they're up to 3A this year, yeah. And then you have Tyrone floated to 2B next year. So, and I think Armagh and Roscommon isn't far behind them, Tom, if not level with them. So I feel it's a very competitive Nicky Rackard, more so than the other year. Maybe you could have tagged the two teams that were going to make the final. But with the format this year, Tom, you've got to get results early and begin the last day undefeated, because anything can happen. And if Armagh just narrowly lost out to Tyrone in that league final last week, and Armagh just got over Roscommon by a point or two. So there's very little in them teams, Tom, and I feel, look, as it showed last year, Tyrone turned us over. So I think it's a very competitive Nicky Rackard this year, and I can see any four or five teams getting to the final, you know, and to give Fermanagh all the respect, they're a decent tie too, Tom, and they have a lot of danger up front to be fast forwards, and look, if you're not on the money, they can punish you, you know. So we'll be leaving no stone unturned. Every game will be very important to us, and starting with this week, Fermanagh will give us a big test. They're a bit of momentum behind, Tom, their tails are up, and the first day out, they've everything to play for. And so we're expecting a tough test, Tom, and look, we have to have a good solid performance to get through it, and they have home advantage. So we just know, Tom, that if we can bring what we did against Sligo maybe in the first half, which we've played a lot to get in the league, it could be enough. But if we drop down to about the level we did in the second half, Tom, you're going to struggle with the likes of Fermanagh. So look, We've got to turn up and bring our A game, Tom, in all these matches and make sure we're going into the last day undefeated. That's the target at the moment.
And tell me, you mentioned obviously the injuries to Richie Ryan and to Jack O'Loughlin. Have they recovered?
Yeah, well, Richie's back now doing a bit of training, Tom, and it was a hand injury, like, so probably a week or two too early this week now. He might be in the 26th, but he's only back getting a hurt in the hand this week. Jack now is fully trained since the Sligo game, and he's good to go, as is Declan. Should be okay for Sunday too. He's trained this week. The only doubt now is we've lost Bernard Lafferty there to a bad injury, maybe, Tom, and you mightn't see him in the Nicky record at all, depending, but he's tore a muscle in his leg, so it could be 4 or 5 week injury, and it's going to be tough for him to get back for game time. And he's a big loss for us, Tom.
He had a good league.
Yeah, and he's good, steady performance and does the simple things right. And look, he's a steady player that'll be on my team all day long, and he's going to be hard to replace. But you just have to move on when you get these injuries, Tom, and hopefully the man coming in can do a job for you.
I know some time since Donegal last played Fermanagh. I know disrespect to Fermanagh, but it's a game, you know, you have to win if you have to have aspirations of winning the Nicky record.
Exactly, Tom. We'll be hot favourites, and in recent times we haven't carried that tag well. We always play better as underdogs, but we'll put ourselves in position now where we're going to be favourites a lot. So we're going to have to carry that, Tom, and get the complacency out of the road, and know the teams are hungry to beat us. I feel we're the target for everybody. As you say, we're the Division 2B team, so they're all of us earmarked as the team to beat. So Fermanagh will be no different, Tom, but you just go by Lisbalaw. The Lisbalaw plays an intermediate club every year where the Donegal champions come out and the Ulster junior club. So look, they're definitely good hurlers and well able to compete at the level we're at. So we just have to get our own house in order, Tom, a good solid performance, and hopefully that's enough.
Donegal boss Mickey McCann as they start their Nicky Rackard Championship this coming weekend. That's on Sunday, and on the same day Tyrone are playing Warwickshire as they start their Nicky Rackard campaign, and that one gets underway at 12:30 in the afternoon. The Donegal game starts at 2, and Derry will start their Christy Ring competition as well, coming off the back of their league success. There's a 1 o'clock start for their match against Wicklow. Derry having home advantage. We go to rugby, and it's another important weekend for North West sides on the rugby front. First of all, City of Derry are fighting for their senior status. They know they need to win against Tullamore in Division 2B on Saturday to stand any chance of avoiding a relegation playoff, but they need other results to go their way. While Letterkenny and Ulster Championship 3 are looking to cement down second place and home advantage as they head to the playoffs. I've been looking at those games with our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. So, Alec, the big games keep coming for the North West sides in rugby, and none more so than City of Derry. Their fight for survival continues this weekend, and they're going to have to win this game, so they are. That's a definite, and they have to hope that other results go their way.
Yeah, as you said, the result against Sunday's well last week was good, but just the league table here at the moment, and the Clonmel of 20, so even they were to beat Sunday's well by 5 points, they would still be bottom position because Derry have 26. If Derry, for instance, beat Tullamore by 4 points, they would go to 30. Or 31, depending on a bonus point, but then Sunday's well, if they beat Clonmel, will go to 32. So it really depends. If Sunday's well beat Clonmel, Derry will then be in a playoff position. I think that's more or less it. And I was talking to Richard McCarter last night. I phoned him up just to find out exactly what's happening. And if that is the case, the playoffs will be on the 23rd and 30th of April. Derry will travel to Clonmel for the first game, and then Clonmel come to Judges Road. And as he said, if you want to get the best sort of draw, that would be good, because at least when they come to Judges Road, the home team will know what they have to do. So it's a very much a big case. But as I say, it'll be very, very interesting to see just exactly what happens. Tullamore are lying in fourth position. They're in the playoff positions because nobody else can catch them. The fifth team are something like 11 points behind. So you wonder maybe what sort of side Tullamore will come up. I think Richard's hoping they don't bring a stronger side because they're into the playoffs, but you never can tell. And as I say, it's very much it's not really in Derry's hands. A victory would be great. It would give a morale boost if they have to go into the playoffs.
As we know, anything can happen in sport. City of Derry won at the weekend, Clonmel won. Come half four, Derry could have retained their senior status. Is there any sort of gut feeling with you that can happen?
Looking at the points as they stand, Clonmel, doesn't matter what they do, they're down. Or not down, but they're bottom. If they beat Sundays Wells, then Sundays Wells would have 28. And of course, yes, you're right, because in a sense, if Derry were to beat Tullamore and Sundays Wells were beaten, then Derry would finish third bottom. So that would be a big bonus for them.
Yeah, it would be a huge bonus.
But I mean, you're expecting Sundays Wells to beat... Sorry, you're expecting Clonmel to beat Sundays Wells, and I just can't see that happening, to be honest.
Okay, well, it's also another big day for Letterkenny. They have a match against Monaghan in Ulster Championship 3. It really has been a good season for Letterkenny. They're right in the mix to be involved in these playoffs to get out of Ulster Championship 3. Alec in the Glenorchy West Cup coming up as well. Letterkenny at home, they'll be looking to maybe lay down another marker against Monaghan, because Monaghan are another of the sides that's going to be involved in the mix for these playoff places as the top four will fight it out for promotion.
Very much so. I mean, Letterkenny have two games left there. They play Monaghan, as you say, at home on Saturday, and the following week they're away to Stepan, and the way Stepan are going at the moment, I would say that they'd be confident in that one, although it's a local derby. But I think the big boost that they got was that semi-final away to Virginia, who are at the moment are looked to be the best side. I mean, they're quite far ahead in the top of the table. A 10-9 result, I mean, that was a tremendous result away from home. It looked as if Monaghan had a much easier result there. They beat Cavan by 34-5, but that's a big boost there for the Letterkenny boys. You know, and the 23rd of April, a day up at Ravenhill with the 5:30 kickoff, it'll be fantastic. I mean, Letterkenny have been there before, but it's been quite a while since we were up watching them there. I think it must be 10 years ago since they were last there. But I mean, again, that's you know, they're fighting two fronts here. It'd be great to see them get promotion at the Gordon West Cup, and I'm sure Paul O'Kane will be hammering that home very much in the training. For that, if it does then come down to the playoffs in qualifying three, Virginia have got 84 points, so they're not going to be caught. So you could find, I mean, if Letterkenny can continue as they're going, it would be Virginia versus Cavan and Letterkenny v Monaghan. But unfortunately, that would mean that if the two sides that you'd expect, Virginia and Letterkenny, got through, that once again, the Letterkenny would have to travel to Virginia. But having beaten them in that Gordon West Cup, they would go down with a lot of confidence. But either way, I mean, they still, you know, it depends now, of course, we were talking about yesterday, what happens in this big round-robin competition down in Dundalk tomorrow, or on Saturday, where Beckett and Estonians both won the semi-finals of the round-robin. Two very strong sides. I mean, Beckett won the Leinster League with something like 5 games to play. They're now coached by Mick Jackman, the former Ireland hooker, so they have really apparently recruited a lot of players. Estonians have spent a lot of money over the last couple of years as well, and that's going to be a key one. And of course, as you said yesterday, if Estonians would hopefully beat Beckett, that would mean then the two teams would be promoted from both qualifying two and qualifying three of the Ulster Leagues, and then that would really delight Letterkenny.
Yeah, certainly. Well, just finally, Alec, a note in Limavady, they're fighting away in qualifying two at the top of the table, and they're chasing promotion. They're looking to get out of there, and they're very, very close to it.
They have. I mean, they would have been out if it had the COVID thing that hit them about 18 months ago. They're unbeaten this year in that league, but again, there's playoff situations. Last week, they beat Corain, who are lying second, and I was talking to one of their members last night, and it's, you know, it's 1v4 and 2v3. Obviously, you'd expect Limavady to come through in that semi-final and get a home draw, but if they happen to draw neighbours Corain again, who knows what can happen? And having gone 18 games unbeaten, it would be a slight irony if they didn't get promotion.
That's Alec McDonald talking all things rugby, and that's it from another edition of The Score. Don't forget, if you missed any of the programme, you can recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Next sport here in Highlands tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. From me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.